Welcome back, WNST Towson Baltimore and WNST Baltimore Positive. No one more positive than me. So I'm a Baltimore City resident with a Baltimore County business in Baltimore County in Catonsville with the Howard County Executive.
It's about as regional as it gets.
Right? You know, I mean, we are come together right now, right? You know, I mean, so, somewhere around here, we got the Beatles. There we go, come
there
together.
There you go. Right? There you go. Hey, we got Aretha, we got John.
We got John Lennon behind us. All right, so when we left off, with Howard County education, all that stuff, but I keep looking up at the TV and I keep seeing impeachment and Don.
To set
I know,
it for folks, we're here. This will go up in about a week, but we're here the day after the House of Representatives.
Yeah, maybe by the time you're hearing this, things have changed.
Pursue.
We can only hope.
I know part of what you do, and you've been involved in teaching classes on ethics and government, and it's that part of public service has been a passion of yours. So it's impossible for us to have elected officials on and not say to you, what do you make of what is happening in Washington right now? I told Nestor, the most disappointing thing to me, Mr. Exec, the past 24 hours has been to watch my friends and some family members who are Trump supporters truly embrace what I'll call their Fifth Avenue moment when Trump said, when the president said, I could shoot somebody in Fifth Avenue and my supporters won't care. I feel we're at that moment now. And as someone who involved in ethics and leadership, what's your take on what's happening?
Yeah, it's quite unfortunate. I think that our country is quite divided. And, you know, we have so many big issues to address. So many people who are struggling, who are hurting, who are suffering. And I think that we need significantly better leadership, especially from our president, focused on the issues that really matter. And, you know, it's a sad day for all Americans, I think.
We have an information problem, don't we? I mean, when it really comes down to it, we have where we get our information, who we trust with it. It really does go back to the root of that. So when on the day after impeachment, when you say you have friends, I don't keep those friends anymore. I just cannot make that argument anymore. But you say your friends believe the real fake, the lies.
They believe the president.
He said he did it. I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. He said he did it, and now
that's
not so bad.
But at
right?
the moment, it seems to
Treason's
me, and we'll move
so
on
anymore.
From this, yeah. Important Howard County things to talk about. Seems to me that what he's been able to do is to take a group of his supporters, and when he says there's nothing to see here, they move on. So there's not any document or any evidence, it seems to me, that's going to be able to be put forward that's going to change their mind. Because for them, it purely is, I have to support the president. It just seems that's where we're at.
I want to take this to you and Barack Obama and watching him and channeling him at various points yourself. Thoughts about why you ran and Trump running the country, maybe would the election have turned you to doing something else with your life other than being happy? Because I'm finding more and more people, including this guy, moving toward Baltimore Positive. I've done sports my whole life. I can't wake up every day in this country, see my city get run. That's the reason I'm here, is because he's running the country and our city's on the struggle, and someone should be picking up a spear and talking about it, you know, picking up a torch for the city. And I would think, what has motivated you to get into this position? Barack Obama had to have a huge impact on that, in the same way that Trump's going to have the reverse impact of getting other people involved. Right.
Well, I think you're right in that, you know, I love the Baltimore Positive. I think right now we have a country where it feels very dark. It feels oftentimes very lonely, very cold. And having a positive conversation that adds a little light, adds a little warmth, adds a little comfort, connects people, that's what we need now more than ever.
Okay, we'll leave the president behind. We'll lower our blood pressure. I've been told, I've read a little bit, I've talked to some of your staff, your new moniker is going to be, this is a county executive who cares about bees and trees. So our folks are driving around.
I need some local honey.
They're in their car and they're saying, bees and trees. Tell us why we should care about bees and trees.
Well, you know, bees who are pollinators are responsible for one in every three bites of food that we eat. And so we need to protect them. We need to make it so that we have food and an environment for future generations. So a couple things we've done in Howard County is we've actually created 55 acres of pollinator-friendly meadow. We've established monarch way stations. We've been working with researchers from the Patuxent Wildlife Research Center to conduct bee surveys. And I'm going to be pre-filing today. So it'll be, I guess, you know, once it gets filed, the story gets out, some anti-pesticide legislation to protect on county-owned property use of pesticides that not only impact bees negatively, but also impact our health.
I like that, you know, because I eat the food that's in the soil here.
Right.
I'm an organic dude. My wife's had cancer twice. I know all about the bee thing. I have a dear friend of mine that's really studied bees. My father-in-law, who lives in New Hampshire, has, you know, he's 70-something. He's got a lot of, he loves the bee, so he's gotten involved in beekeeping as well. I think that that's hit the internet in a good way, right?
Yeah.
That's been an information thing that this is the most important creature we have flying
exactly.
around. Even though I hated him when I was a kid, you know
right,
what I mean?
Didn't we all?
We all hate him as kids, but we forget how important they are. I mean, climate is, you know, at the forefront of your message, and obviously where we are. I saw Greta Thunberg this week and what she's taken on. I am amazed that this can be an argument. That this can be an argument as it's 90 degrees today here in October.
Like, well, that's science is clear.
That's what I want to ask the county executive. I think we all look for issues that can bring us together. We talked about it in an earlier segment, that can unite us. As you get around, and we probably haven't, we need to have you talk a little bit more about what Howard County is today. In other words, it's a lot of different things. But when you go around the county to different constituents, is an issue like bees and trees, is that a uniter? Is that one that everyone gets?
Almost everyone.
Almost, okay.
I think the vast majority of people see that we do have increasing frequency and intensity of storms. I think people recognize that we need to protect our food sources and do a better job with our environment. I think, you know, if I could just have one plug, people need to recognize that we need to eat more local honey. You know, eat more Maryland honey. It's not only good for business, but it's good for our health.
It's good for your immune system.
It is. So I think most people get it every once in a while. You know, there are always people who have, you know, issues and challenges that go beyond the science. But I think the vast majority of folks, you know, Howard County has almost 330,000 residents. They get it, and they understand this is important.
What would I'm going to let you, and I'm sure you do it all the time, if you step across and you try to look to that smaller group that objects, and if we were to have them, what would they tell us why this isn't a good idea? What would their argument be?
I think what I've heard, a few things. One,
they might get stung.
Let me go back, Mr. Other than getting stung, ignore that man behind the curtain. What would they tell us?
I'm here for the comedy, man. I'm here for levity.
What would they tell us?
Well, I think some folks feel like climate change. Well, some don't think that there is climate change because oftentimes they don't distinguish between climate and weather. So if there happens to be a cold day in winter or a hot day in summer,
they thought that two things in Ellicott City were just 100-year storms that were 18 months apart.
Yes. Some people feel that way. Some people think that, well, you know, maybe the climate is changing, but this is cyclical and it has nothing to do with man and it's just how the environment works. And so in 1,000 years, it'll be another way. And then some people look at, because things like you just mentioned, Ellicott City is multifactorial. So, you know, there is a climate issue, there's a development issue, there's a prevention issue, like getting out debris from the waterways. There are so many things. They'll focus only on one or two as opposed to saying, look, let's take a holistic approach. Just like if we want to address an issue, let's address the entire issue.
Well, I think you've titled it Safe and Sound Plan.
Yes.
That's still the plan.
Yep.
So we're sitting at State Fair in Catonsville, and its owner, Evan Brown, who's done a wonderful job here, been open almost a year, is here because of those two floods. I mean, Evan, as you know, owned a very successful restaurant in Ellicott City called Portales.
It was wonderful.
Was wiped, a wonderful restaurant, was wiped out in the flood in 2016, gets it back up and running, and I want to say just a month or two after they're back up and running, I can remember my wife and I going out there to celebrate the reopening, it's flooded out again, at which point Evan says, I can't do it a third time. In this case, Ellicott City's loss is Catonsville's gain. So right. You inherit this. You come in, you've got these thousand-year storms, and they're now happening every 18 months, not every thousand years. So walk our listeners who follow it a little bit, walk us through Safe and Sound and what you're doing.
So, like you said, you know, we had two devastating what would be categorized as thousand-year storms in 2016 and 2018, and we had a plan in place with the former county executive in 5 years to take down about 10 buildings, spend, you know, between $50 and $60 million, and leave in a 100-year storm about 4.5 feet of flood water. And so when I came in, I started having a community conversation. There were a lot of concerns about taking down all of the buildings because people want to protect the historic and cultural nature of Ellicott City because it is a destination. They had concerns that if we were going to spend, you know, $50, $60, $70 million, why do we still want to have almost 5 feet of flood water on Main Street in a 100-year storm? People who were concerned about the level of transparency. How did we get to these plans? Why were these the best plans? And then feeling like there was this division between Upper Main, which flooded a little bit less, and then Lower Main, which had a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to do was, first and foremost, try to start helping the community heal. You know, there was a lot of devastation, like you said. After 16, a lot of people came back. They worked so hard. They invested their hearts and souls to only feel like,
well, what it does to every
away.
Part of your life.
Exactly.
Not just your business, your insurance, your family, your mojo.
Right.
I mean, your mojo. More
yeah.
than anything. And that's what leadership is. Leadership's
right.
picking up the mojo for
right.
everybody. Really.
Right. And then I wanted a plan that people felt like it was safe. So, you know, our new plan, we're looking at only taking down 4 buildings as opposed to 10, clearing out the areas of the buildings that are over the streamways. Our new plan, when fully executed, instead of leaving about 4.5 feet of flood water on Main Street, it'll be less than a foot. One thing that we just started doing was clearing out the roadways more frequently. You know, previously they would be cleared out quarterly. So I instituted with my team, clear them out every time there's an issue. And we've already cleaned out almost 9 tons of debris. So now that won't be floating up whenever there is a flood. Working on some of these long-term projects for flood mitigation. We awarded over $150,000 of flood mitigation grants to people to flood-proof their houses. And since I've taken office, we've already opened over a dozen new businesses on Main Street. So we're coming back, and I think that the investments that we are making, that we will make it so that a town that's almost 250 years old will be there for the next 250
well,
years.
Well, Nestor, I want to jump in because it's funny. When the exec's talking about Safe and Sound, I'm looking at the exec, I'm looking at you, and I'm thinking, man, he's singing your song, because it seems to me, Nestor always preaches that leadership, particularly those in government, it's a blend of vision and this sort of, I'll call it, Schaeferesque, although Senator Mikulski hated it because she hates the nostalgia.
But there's limitations
There's a do it now. There's
never,
a vision and there's a do it now.
But you're never going to make everybody happy. This is a really important question. So place floods twice. Evan's sitting over here making me chicken and waffles. And the people that are still there say, all right, the next plan that comes in, when you bring 5 architects, I guess it's architects that come in, or whatever the structural engineering, whatever that would be, whoever those specialists are in the sky that you bring in from out of town or in town or in state,
right.
Do they all give a similar view of what should be done, or literally do they come in and say, I think we should take out the west side, I think we should take out the top of the, I mean, you get, because that's the fascinating part for me, is I look at it and say, well, if 97% of the climate scientists say, then I feel that way. But on something like Ellicott City, when the first time it went wrong, trying to fix it up, the next time around, I'm thinking, if I'm the business owner, I'm the person there, I'm like, it's not about trusting you. It's about, like, who's the real person doing the
job? That's a great question.
And what's their qualification? And how do you vet that? If three out of the five say it needs to be done this way, okay, well, we at least have a 60% that this is the operation we need.
And that was the transparency part. And I wanted people to see. Once I got into office, we evaluated 70 different potential models. Boiled
70.
It down. 70.
Okay.
So people could see, okay, here's what we weighed. We looked at these various factors. And then we tailored it down to five. And then I just put it out to the public. I said, I want you to see, ask all kinds of questions, look at the five pluses and minuses to everything. And then I picked one plan so that people could see, oh, well, that's how he took all of these different factors, all these different evaluations. What are the thresholds? And then this is the plan that will actually make me feel safe.
Our best chance.
Exactly.
Our best chance.
Our
so
best
as,
chance.
As we get then, because we have a lot of listeners who are driving around who are Howard County residents, they know Ellicott City, particularly Main Street, like the back of their hand. So I want to try to articulate for them exactly where the plan is now. So right now, we're talking on Main Street. We're talking about starting from the bottom where the Phoenix is and then up four buildings. Is that the plan?
Yes.
So from the Phoenix and then four buildings. When they come down then, what happens where those four buildings were?
So we're going to have to go through what's called a Section 106 process, which is whenever you have to take down buildings that are historic in nature, you have to go through that. We are moving as quickly as possible. We are still doing, like I said, getting rid of some of the debris at the lower level. We are working on our expression of interest for some of the bigger projects, and then they're going to go into the field for some of the flood mitigation up higher up the street. And then we have like high ground access points. We have emergency alert that we put in. And so we're trying to really take this holistic approach, not only taking down those very few buildings as we go through the process, taking off the backs of some of the other buildings that are over the stream channel, excuse me, because that clogged the channel and made those buildings less safe.
So we, at the bottom, eventually when safe and sound, and I don't, what's the time frame? I guess we should ask, what's the time frame when folks might actually see things happening along Main Street?
People are seeing things happen every day. We actually have a Facebook site that we post almost daily on what the progress is. And, you know, to channel, as you just alluded to, Schaefer, the time is now.
Where do people follow this on Facebook?
It's EC Safe and Sound.
EC Safe. And so we'd encourage those of you who are,
yes.
We get a lot of questions about Ellicott City. Now, I know we have to wrap up one, and we want to come back. We want to talk Kerwin. We want to talk transportation. But before we do, certainly in those discussions, when you were meeting with the public, there was concern about Howard County development and how it contributed to what took place. As you've gotten in and you've dug down, what's your take on the need for new development regulations, the role that development played? You can't go back.
This is sort of your fracking issue to some degree, right?
What do we do? What do we do going forward?
Development, actually, I think, does play a role. And so I actually have legislation right now before the council, two pieces of legislation, one which will greatly improve development regulations, and the other which will increase the fees in lieu. So we are going to go from about $72 per square foot to $72,000 per square foot to...
We're looking it up. We'll get back to it.
Try to get the numbers
right. Come back to it.
Right.
We want to get the numbers right.
They quote you, you know.
Yes.
You got to get every number right.
It's not a problem.
So we are actually dramatically increasing the fees and lieus and dramatically increasing how people develop whenever they are able to develop. And the fees and lieus will be of last resort. So that now, from now forward, we're not going to have the kind of development that happened decades ago that really didn't take into account the environment.
So good things happening, progress, safe and sound. Follow it, EC on EC Safe and Sound.
Yep, EC
on Facebook,
safe and
you can stay apprised of it. We're going to have one more segment. We're going to talk Kerwin. We're going to talk transportation. Lots of good things happening
in
Howard County.
I learned a lot about Kerwin, so this is one of my favorite
topics.
Aren't we all?
Because
County Executive Calvin Ball.
We're back at State Fair. We're Baltimore Positive. WNST Towson Baltimore and WNST.net.